Well, good evening, Temple Baptist Church. It's an honor to be with all you all again. I want to thank you all again for your kindness and for your generosity. I'm going to need someone to help me after the service to recommend a good tailor in the area, because I'm going to need my coat, I think, made a little bit bigger after all this food we've been eating this week. But it's been good. Thank you so much for all who have worked so hard in that. And also, not only have you been preparing the food, we were talking to the ladies a little bit today, and they've been saying how much preparation they put into what they give and how they prepare it. I know you're doing this with your heart. You're doing this with your love for the Lord and your love for missions. And we want to thank you so much for that. Well, I want to pray. And after that, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. But as we go, I want to pray to the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do love you so very much. Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity we have to be together again as a church, to talk about missions, to look at the victories you have given all over the world, the work you have done through this church already. Thank you, Lord, for giving a love for you, a love for missions, a love for your work to the people of this church. Help us, Lord, together to be able to continue to advance your work, to continue to see souls saved and lives changed through the power of the gospel. Thank you, Lord, so much for your word, the word that is powerful, that can change lives. Help us, Lord, to be faithful, to love it, to preach it, and to give it to others. Thank you for all you do. May you be with us tonight as we look at your word. May you speak through it. May you use it in a mighty way. We love you so very much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Burkina Faso, the most common mode of transportation is what's called a moto, which is a motorcycle without the big engine. So it's, you can say, a little moped. And if you were to go to Burkina Faso, you would see these little mopeds all over the road, thousands of them. More than you have cars, more than bicycles, you have these little mopeds. And the people are pretty skilled there. Sometimes you see them carrying chickens or eggs or pigs. I once saw a man carrying a cow on his little moped. Very impressive what they can do with them. But these mopeds, they work very well for the people they travel with. But the problem, when a woman is pregnant, and she goes into labor, and she has to get to the hospital, how is she going to get to the hospital? Well, on the back of a moped, because there's no other way for her to get there. So I'm sure, as you ladies can attest, as my wife can attest, when you're about to give birth and you're on the back of a moped, it's not very comfortable. But then, you're on the back of a moped, and you're going to labor, and the baby starts coming. That is not only uncomfortable, that can also be very dangerous. But it's not a problem in Burkina Faso. And the reason is because everybody in Burkina Faso has a pair of flip-flops. And they believe in Burkina Faso, if you're pregnant on the way to the hospital, if you take your flip-flops, put your flip-flops together like this, and hold them on top of your head, the baby won't come. Now, if your husband's a bad driver and he makes a sharp turn and the flip-flops fall off, well, you better get off the side road because the baby's coming. But as long as these flip-flops stay on your head, everything's going to be okay and the baby's not going to come. Like when you ask Brother Ben, our science teacher, is that very scientifically accurate? I don't think so. But the people in Burkina Faso believe that with all their hearts. And we kind of laugh at that. It's kind of a funny thing. But the truth is, people in Burkina Faso believe in a lot of crazy things. And physically, you might see someone riding around with flip-flops on their head, but the truth is, spiritually, there are millions and millions of people in Burkina Faso and Papua New Guinea, the Czech Republic, New York, all these other countries that are walking around with flip-flops on their head. They're trusting in their religion. They're trusting in their good works. They're trusting in their country and their family to save them. And as foolish as it would be for me to walk around with flip-flops on my head, it's just as foolish for me to put my trust in anything or anyone besides Jesus Christ. And in Burkina Faso, we've been talking a lot about this with the young people in the school. We mentioned it a little bit last night, but many of the people still follow the animistic religion of their ancestors. And that involves the worship of your ancestors and the worship of natures. So there's a village there called Bazalay. And in Bazalay, do you know what they pray to? They pray to the sacred catfish. You have a lake larger than this room, and inside that lake there are dozens, I think there's close to 200, that's the crocodiles or catfish. Okay, I meant crocodiles for the first one. We'll get the catfish in a second. There are over 200 crocodiles in this large lake. And every single day, the people in that village go to that lake, sacrifice chickens and goats to these crocodiles, and pray to these crocodiles to save them, pray to these crocodiles to deliver them. In the city of Bobo Dioulasso, where we'll be going when we go back, they do worship the catfish. How many of y'all like to eat catfish? I love eating catfish. How many of you have a dire need in your life, you need help, you need guidance, you need deliverance, how many of you would want to go and pray to a catfish to help you and to deliver you? I don't want to. But for these people in Boba de Lasso, it's what they do. When I have a need, I go to the catfish. I have a need in Bosley, I go to the crocodiles. Other places you have hippos, other places you have trees, rocks, all these things, they go and they pray and they say, help me, deliver me, and save me. You have Islam, there's 6%, over 60% in Burkina, you have many Muslims. You have Roman Catholics, you have so many different religions, so many different groups, and they're all trusting in these things to save them and these things to help them. And for us, we can look at that and we can say, well, that's pretty foolish to pray to a catfish. A catfish can't help you. How many of y'all agree with that? That's pretty foolish. We can look at that and realize that, but why can they not? Why do they believe that these catfish can help them and these catfish, these crocodiles, can save them? Well, if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, we're going to look at verse number 3 and verse number 4. And the reason that they can pray, the reason that they pray to catfish, the reason they pray to crocodiles, it says very clearly in verse 4, is because they are blind and they have never heard the truth. Look what it says in verse number 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. First thing we see here in these verses is their need. And in Burkina Faso and all these other countries you've heard about, and here in Asheville, North Carolina, there's a great need. And the need is that there are millions and billions of people all over this world that are blind, that are following false religions, that have a false hope, that believe in false things, that have spiritual flip-flops on their head because they are blind and they have never heard the truth. They have never once heard who is Jesus Christ. They have never once heard the truth of the gospel. And they are blind and they're headed straight to hell and on their way to hell because they are blind. On our table back there, you can look after the service. There's a little statue of a blind man being led by a child. And often in Burkina Faso, when a person is blind, the only thing they can do is beg on the street. So in the morning, they'll find a small child, give that child a couple coins, or maybe it's a friend of theirs. And that child will take the end of a stick and it'll lead that blind man where he wants to go, preferably to a busy intersection where he can sit there all day and beg for money and get some food to eat. But I have a question for you. As that child is leading the blind man, does that blind man really have any say over where he goes? No. His faith is in that child. He's hoping that child will take him where he wants to go. He's hoping he won't be led into danger, but he is blind, so he doesn't know where he's going. So he has put all his faith in that child to take him where he wants to go. And that is the condition, that is the need of sinners today. They are being led by the devil, they are being led by the world straight to hell, either trusting in their religion, or trusting in their good works, or trusting in their family, and they have never heard the truth, and their hearts and their eyes and their mind are blind to the reality that they have flip-flops on their head. Well, next we're going to look at verse, we're going to go back to verse number 1. We're going to backtrack a little bit. So we see their need that they are blind. But now we're going to see our ministry and our responsibility. Our ministry and our responsibility. Look what it says there in verse number 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor hailing the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Let's get now down to verse number 5. It says, for we preach Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Here in verse number 1, Paul says, we have a ministry. And what is our ministry? What is our responsibility? It's to take the word of God, as we just heard in the presentation, as we heard so much about last night, to take the word of God, to take the message of Jesus Christ and to preach it and to give it to others. I love what it says in verse number 2. It says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor hailing the word of God deceitfully. You know, the good news is I don't have to trick people into getting saved. I don't have to deceive people or twist the word or be super awesome in myself to get people saved. My responsibility is to do what? To preach who? You can help me. To preach who? Christ. And when I preach Christ, and when I give the word of God, the Holy Spirit does an amazing, powerful work in the lives of others. I don't have to deceive. I don't have to trick. I don't have to do anything of myself besides be faithful in this ministry of giving the word and preaching Christ. If you go to Burkina Faso, especially there in the capital city, you'll find a lot of churches. But the problem is those churches there, the largest group there is the Assembly of God, a very charismatic group. Those churches, they have neglected and they have left behind the word of God. And really what they've done is they've taken the ideas of the witch doctor and they've just replaced that with a cover of Christianity. And you have these so-called pastors, they'll go to the store and they buy a piece of candy for 5 cents. They'll take this piece of candy, they'll pray over this candy supposedly, and they'll make this piece of candy a holy, a blessed candy, a holy candy. And then they'll turn around to their church members and they'll say, hey, Brother Boyer, I have this piece of candy here. It's a holy piece of candy. I prayed for this. If you give me $2, I'll give you this piece of candy and God will bless you beyond measure. You want it? And they're in Burkina, because they're blind, because they've never heard the word of God, they'll say, oh, I'll give you $3 for that because I want the blessings of God on my life. You have so-called pastors that go to a witch doctor on Saturday night for that witch doctor to perform his ceremony, to bless that pastor, so he can have a good service on Sunday. They're not preaching the word of God. They're not preaching Christ. They don't even know our Lord. They don't even know the Jesus of the Bible. But they're hailing the word of God deceitfully, deceiving others, giving promises of prosperity, promises of riches, promises of deliverance, when they really have nothing to give. But our ministry is to do what? We preach Christ. And when we preach Christ, we see God do a powerful work. When we give the gospel, when we give the word of God to the students in Papua New Guinea, we see God do a mighty work. Because our God is powerful, and our God can do a mighty work. And that's what we're going to look now in verse number 6. We see our ministry, we see their need, we see our ministry, but now, we're going to look at, this is the big point, the most important point, we see God's work. In verse number, let's take verse number 4 through 6 again. It says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. So we see, what has Satan done? He's blinded their minds, so they worship catfish and crocodiles and trees and Allah. He's blinded their minds, so they walk around with flip-flops on their head. We understand where they are? Now our job, our ministry, is verse number 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, servants for Jesus' sake. So they're blind. Someone comes and they preach Christ and they give the word of God. And now we look at verse number 6 and we see the work of God. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light, the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So they're lost, they're blind with flip-flops on their head. Somebody goes and they preach Christ. And what does God do? He shines the light of the gospel into their hearts. And they realize, wait a second. These catfish can't save me. These crocodiles can't save me. My church can't save me. Allah can't save me. I need Jesus Christ. And God does an amazing, miraculous work in their life. And it says in verse 6 that he shines the light of the gospel. Where there was darkness, where there was ignorance, where there was nothing, Christ shines a light. I want to tell you a story of a man named Norbert. When we first went to Zactuli, Norbert, he was pretty infamous. He was, I guess you could say he was a city drunk. Norbert loved his alcohol. He was born, he grew up in the Roman Catholic Church, and especially there in Burkina, they promote alcohol very much. And Norbert, he worked not far from our house. So almost every day when I'd come home, I'd see him, I'd talk to him, and Norbert, he worked, he'd sold pork. He cut up cooked pork during the day to sell it. So at night, Norbert would always have some meat. He would always be eating the strangest meat you can imagine. And there in Africa, whenever somebody is eating, they always invite. They always say, invite. They're, here, have some. So, you know, you take a little piece just to be polite. So he'd always invite me. I'd always take a little piece of his meat and eat it and, you know, trying to be polite. The one day, he offered it to me. I ate it, and it was the weirdest tasting meat I've ever had. I said, Norbert, what type of meat is this? He's like, oh, it's pig intestine. I'm like, pig intestine? Oh, that's interesting. Well, I'm sure you cleaned it really well, right? He's like, nah, not really. I'm like, I'm never eating any of your meat ever again. That's besides the point. But one day, we had just started the church there in Zactuli. We started the church that Sunday. This would have been the Saturday right after we started the church. I was talking to Norbert that evening, and the Holy Spirit started convicting my heart, saying, Jason, you should invite Norbert to come to church with you. But in my heart, or in my head, it wasn't really my heart, my flesh, I said, God, no, you don't understand. Norbert does not want to come to church. He's a drunk. He's a Catholic. He does not want to come to church. He was about 65. I'm going to get myself in trouble. He was a young man of about 65. And I was like, he's set in his ways. There's no way Norbert ever is going to come to church. So do you know what I did? I turned around and went back inside my house. Sometimes I think y'all think missionaries are super spiritual. We always do what we're supposed to do. But the truth is, we don't. The truth is, sometimes we have the same fears and insecurity and pride that you struggle with. So I was like, Lord, he is never going to come to church. Norbert's not going to come. So I'm sure I'll talk to him another day. So I go back into my house and the Holy Spirit starts working on my heart. He says, Jason, you really need to invite Norbert to church. I'm like, he's not going to come. Why should I waste my time? Why should I make a fool of myself inviting him to church? Because I know he's never going to come. He kept working on my heart. I was trying to get ready for bed. He wouldn't let me get ready for bed. So I finally say, oh, you know what? I will go out there. I will invite Norbert to church just so I can get some good sleep tonight. So I put my clothes back on, go out there and say, hey, Norbert, we have church tomorrow. Will you come and visit us at church? And Norbert said, of course I'll come. But now in Burkina, everybody's going to come to church next Sunday. Every Saturday morning, I'm always so excited because after evangelization, about 200 people say they're going to be at church tomorrow. I just know we're going to have a great crowd tomorrow, and then no new visitors show up. I'm like, man, there are a bunch of liars here. Said, I'll come to church tomorrow, Pastor. I'm like, okay, I'm sure you will. Well, we'll see you probably tomorrow night because you won't be coming to church in the morning. Sometimes missionaries don't have a lot of faith either, I guess. So I went back in, got ready for bed. The next morning, we're there at church, getting everything set up. I look up, and guess who comes walking into church? Except for Norbert and one of his friends. They sit down that morning, we give the gospel, and Norbert accepted Christ. Norbert realized that he was trusting in a bunch of useless flip-flops that could never save him and that could never help him. And he threw those flip-flops aside and said, I want to trust Jesus Christ. And that day, Norbert's life was completely changed. Because of me? No. Because of the power of the gospel. Because the Spirit shined the light into Norbert's heart to show him that he was a sinner and he needed Jesus Christ. About 2 weeks later, it was another Sunday morning, and Norbert calls me. Norbert lives about 5 or 6 kilometers away from the church, so 3 or 4 miles away from the church. So he would ride his bike every Sunday to come to church. So one day, about 2 Sundays after he started coming, Norbert called me and said, Pastor, I have some friends that want to come to church, but they don't have bikes. Can you come with your car and pick them up? I said, well, sure, no problem. Be happy to do that. I'm kind of imagining he's going to have 2 or 3 people that want to come to church with him. I said, yeah, no problem. We'll come and pick up your friends. So we go out to his area, and we show up, and Norbert's standing there with about 20 adults standing around him. I'm like, look at my car. I'm like, we have a little RAV4, so it's not a very big car. I'm like, Norbert, they're not all going to fit in my car. He's like, oh, no, don't worry, Pastor. We can get these people in your car. Just go over there and let us do our work. I'm like, okay, if you say so. So I go over there, and about 2 minutes later, I turn back, and there's 20 Burkina Bay adults crammed in my little car. I said, okay, so we go to church. And several of those people accepted Christ. And now you and the church is actually every single Sunday, almost, there will be Norbert with 5 or 6 people from his area ride their bikes almost 30 minutes every Sunday to come to church. Six or seven people that have been baptized, saved, are growing in their faith. Why? Because God did a work in the life of Norbert. It's amazing what the gospel can do. And it's amazing what the gospel can do when somebody takes that treasure inside of them and shares it with others. So that's what it says. Look what it says in verse number 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. What is that verse saying? It's saying that the truth is our physical bodies, our physical talents, they're just earthen vessels. They're just little clay pots that aren't really that good for anything. But the most important thing is what? It's what's inside of me. And what's this treasure inside of me? Is it my talents? No. Is it my intelligence? No. It's what? It's the gospel. The gospel that made a difference in my life can go out and make a difference in the lives of others. How many of you ladies like chocolate? Anyone like chocolate in here? Mrs. Boyer, you like chocolate? What's your favorite type of chocolate? A Reese cups. Okay, one day Pastor Boyer comes home because he's such a good husband, a good pastor. And he brings you Mrs. Boyer a Reese's cup. Are you pretty happy about that? But Mrs. Boyer, when he gives you that Reese's cup, what do you do with it? You eat. Are you sure? Do you open up that Reese's cup and throw away the Reese's cup and keep the wrapper and say, that is the most beautiful wrapper I've ever seen? You ever done that before? That'd be kind of weird if she did that. How many of you men like pizza? Anyone like pizza in here? How many of you order, where do y'all, like Pizza Hut? I mean, ever since we've been back to the States, we love pizza. I don't know why. Domino's? How many of you go to Domino's, you order a Domino's pizza. How many of y'all open up that Domino's pizza box, throw away the pizza, keep the box, and say, oh man, this is an amazing, most beautiful cardboard box I've ever seen. Anyone ever done that before? You have? I want to be, no. Why? Because those are just the wrappers. Those are just the earthen vessels. The wrapper, the box isn't that important. The true treasure is the chocolate or the pizza inside. And this verse right here says that our life, our body, our strength is just the earthen vessel. And the thing that makes the difference is not us, but the treasure inside of us. So if you look at Norbert, what happened? I had a treasure inside of me. I handed it to Norbert. He took it, and he handed it to those around him. One of the ladies that is from Norbert's area, she came that very first, that first time with in the car. Her name was Awa. She was actually a Muslim lady. And she came to Norbert that Sunday. So it would have been the fourth Sunday after we started the church, and she got saved. And she started inviting her friends and her family, especially her husband, to come to church. But her husband didn't like it very much that Awa was going to church. He was just very much against that. He said, you can't go to church, but you can't get involved in church. You can't do discipleship. My wife was wanting to disciple her. She's like, you can't do discipleship. You can't say, you can't do anything. You can go, but I don't want you getting involved in church because I just don't like these churches. That's what her husband said. But do you know who started coming to church about 2 or 3 months ago? Awa's husband. Do you know why he came to church? He came and he said, you know what? I wasn't very happy about my wife coming to church. But ever since she's been coming to church, she hasn't been the same lady. She used to be kind of mean. She used to yell at me a lot. She used to be pretty mean. But now she's really nice and sweet. And I don't know what you've done with her, but I sure like it. So I want to come to church. I want to find out what's going on with my wife. And he's been coming for since May or June. I don't remember. But he hasn't missed a Sunday. He still hasn't received Christ. So pray for him. But he came. Why? I gave my treasure to Norbert. Norbert gave his treasure to Awa. And Awa, she took her treasure and she offered it to her husband. We all have a treasure, don't we? If you're here tonight and you're saved, you have a treasure. It's really not that much different than the treasure inside of me. Actually, it's not different at all. Because the same way I received Christ, it's the same way all these other missionaries, anyone else here, the same way people in Papua New Guinea, in Burkina Faso, in the Czech Republic, in New York, received Christ. Am I missing anybody? Any missionaries? Oh, France. How could I forget France? That's like our Burkina's big brother. People in France and Burkina, we were used to be a French colony. The same way they received Christ is the same way they receive eternal life is the same way that you received eternal life. It's all because of Jesus Christ. And the treasure inside of me that makes a difference is the same treasure inside of Norbert that makes a difference is the same treasure inside of you that can make a difference. I want to ask you tonight, what are you doing with your treasure? You have a precious treasure inside of you, a treasure that can save lives, a treasure that can change lives, a treasure that can change a country, as we're seeing in Papua New Guinea. That treasure is inside of you, and what are you doing with it? Are you keeping it to yourself? Are you holding it in? Or are you freely giving that to others? Are you freely sharing the work that Christ has done for you and in you with those around you? I'm going to look at the next verse. I forget which verse it is. Is it verse 8? I believe it's verse 8. Yes, verse 8. So verse 7, it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Then let's look at what it says in verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also Jesus might be made manifest in our body. If you look at those verses, he talks about the problems and the persecutions that we're going to have in the Christian life. And one of the things about the charismatic movement, they love to tell people, hey, if you love Christ, if you have faith, you'll never again have a problem in your life. All you have to do is look at the Bible to see how false that is. What the Bible does say is that when I have a problem, I have hope. When I have a difficulty, I have a God who loves me, who's on my side. When I'm going through a trial in my life that's bigger than I could ever imagine, that's bigger than I am, that's stronger than I think I can be, I have a God who is on my side, who loves me, and who cares for me. In Burkina Faso, there's a proverb, a saying they like to say, and they always say, never mess with a baby hippo because his mother is behind you in the bush. And the idea is, you know, that little baby hippo is weak and small, and he could probably go up and take a selfie with him. That's what you young people like doing today. Take a little selfie with that baby hippo. He's not going to do anything. But if you mess with that baby hippo too long, his mama's going to come out of the bush, and those hippos are pretty big, mean animals. And if you mess that baby hippo too long, that mama's going to come, and she's going to protect and rescue and save her little baby hippo. And as a Christian, we have these difficulties. We are persecuted. We are surrounded by troubles. We are in distress, or we are become perplexed. But our God, who loves us, is bigger than any of those problems, is bigger than the world, and he is there to help us. But in Burkina Faso, when they have troubles, when they have difficulties, when they have problems that are bigger than them, their loved one is sick, they have financial trouble, they don't have food for their family, what do? Mr. Catfish, will you please help me? Mr. Crocodile, I need help. Will you deliver me? Allah, I'm praying 5 times a day. Will you please hear me and deliver me? Because they have never heard the gospel of Christ. In New York City, the Muslims praying 5 times a day, praying for deliverance, praying for hope. Why? They've never heard about Jesus Christ. The world is blind, and they need our treasure. They need the treasure of the Word of God. They need someone to go and to preach Christ to them. But if we hold this treasure to ourselves, they'll never hear. If we keep this treasure to ourselves, if we never make an effort to reach those here in Asheville around us, those in our country around us, they're just going to continue blinded on their way, and they're going to go straight to hell. So I ask you tonight, very simply, what are you doing with that treasure? God's given you a precious treasure. What are you doing to make a difference with your life? I want to ask everyone to close your eyes and bow your heads. I want to hand this back.